This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Thursday, the 7th of August, 2014, and my name is Patrick Smith. I hope you're all having a great summer, guys. It's only 3 short weeks until the Belfast Giants take to the ice for the next season of Elite League ice hockey, and I know if you're anything like me, you can't wait for that first puck to be dropped. Leading up to that, we've got quite a bit to talk about. We haven't been on the air since, mid-June? So plenty has happened in that time. I'll be chatting to David McGimsey and Neil, the coach Russell, as always. Two great chaps to talk about hockey with. And we've got all the topics that have taken place, new signings, rule changes, the CHL, as much as we can fit in to what's usually about an hour and a half, maybe a bit more. But also on top of that, we have Steve Thornton, head of hockey operations for the Belfast Giants. New signing Mark McCutcheon is with us to talk about his forthcoming take to the ice with the Giants. And Aaron Murphy of Premier Sports comes on to chat about the latest deal between Premier Sports and the Elite Ice Hockey League for coverage throughout this season. If you want to get in contact with us, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is the website. At AVFTB is the Twitter. And of course, soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all the interviews. So here we go. Once round again. It's a few short weeks to the start of the Elite League season, and a couple of pre-season games around the corner, but there's plenty to talk about because it's been a while since we spoke last. First up, a man who looks no older than the 21 years that he is. Happy birthday, Mr. David McGimsey.
Thank you very much, Patrick. I don't really look on today as, you know, anything different other than just one day closer to another championship.
A journalist is a man who the last time I saw him in Belfast looked 10 years younger. I don't know what it was. Welcome back, Neil, the coach Russell.
Evening, Patrick. Evening, David.
Hiya, coach.
David. Gentlemen, as I said, it's been quite a few weeks since we spoke last on the podcast. You like that one, didn't you, Louis? Quite a few weeks since we spoke last on the podcast, and a lot has happened in those few weeks. So what we'll do is we'll breeze through a few of the issues, and then, of course, coming up, we've got an interview with new signing Mark McCutcheon. We'll be talking to Aaron Murphy, and we'll also have an interview with Steve Thornton. But first up, the Continental Cup. The Belfast Giants have relented on the Champions League of Hockey, something we spoke about the last time around, and they decided to go into the Continental Cup. And the information on those dates came forward in June. They will travel to Bremerhaven in Germany between the 17th and 19th of October, where they'll be in Group B, the hometown, the Fishertown Penguins, and the Tilburg Trappers, a team the Giants, I believe, have faced before, and the winner of Group A, which takes place in Sofia in late September. If you want further details on that and the schedule, you can get them on BelfastGiants.com. I'll start off with yourself, David. The Continental Cup, we know we spoke the last time that we would have liked to have seen the Giants in the Champions League of Hockey. That hasn't worked out for the Giants. The Continental Cup is the next best thing for us, and it's going to be an interesting weekend.
For sure. I think that it's great that we're taking the trip to Europe, maybe in a slightly lesser competition, suits us even better from a point of view of, you know, progressing maybe in the tournament, or maybe just playing teams at a level that with more chance of, you know, competing with night on night than going to the CHL and just getting completely pumped every night. So, which is what I hope happens to Nottingham. But like, I'm glad we're there. I think it'll be a great trip for the people to go on. And, you know, here's hoping that we can squeak through around.
Coach, this is the Belfast Giants' third foray into the Continental Cup. Of course, famously in that very first competition that we took part in, we made it to the Super Final where we beat Davos all the way out in Lugano, and it was a fantastic time and a totally different sort of era for the Giants. The last time around in Landshut, it wasn't as great, you know, losing so badly to Landshut, the home team, as we did, that we didn't progress. This is a real chance for the Giants to get out there and make amends for what was a disappointing time, the last one.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, Davey's right in what he says there. I think we're pitching it, you know, I think the Continental Cup is pitching it at the EIHL level. You know, I know we'll go on to talk about the Champions League later on with Murph. You know, the level of investment required there is phenomenal. And for us, I think the right decision was to take part in the Continental Cup. And, you know, I think a few of the players, you know, are still here that were over in Germany the last time, and that was a disappointment in the end. And I think a few of those guys will just remember that whenever they head over to Germany again, Bremerhaven in October, and they'll be looking to put in a far better effort than maybe what we did a couple of years ago. But as I say, you know, looking at the teams that we're playing against, you know, Thornton adds a couple of good players here in our final import slots. You know, the team chemistry that we have, I'm backing us to do pretty well in that first round.
David, sorry, Paddy, the coach brings up a good point there. But we talk about it often about our team chemistry and stuff. But the likes of the vast majority of the team that won the championship is getting the reward of playing in Europe. So mm-hmm. I like that rather than we've built a whole new roster and your reward is that you're playing in Europe. I think it's good that the team that actually qualified for Europe, for want of a better term, is going to be the team that goes out there. And those guys hopefully have got good memories, but bad memories, if you know what I mean, from Landshut, that that'll be eating away at them, that they maybe should have done better the last time. This is, you know, don't often get second chances in hockey, and this is a second chance for the guys to put the record straight.
It's probably a bit premature to ask this question. It's probably a question we will ask when it gets closer to the tournament, Davey, but is this an opportunity or a distraction from domestic competition for the Giants?
When you say an opportunity, Paddy, an opportunity on a personal level for players to put themselves in the shop window, or an opportunity for the club, you know, to put them, you know, to make progression, or just what were you asking that?
Well, I suppose, like, is it an opportunity for development of the team to have a bit of higher competition, or, as you say, maybe to put themselves to that, to get that experience of playing? A lot of these guys won't have played in Europe. Well, I say a lot of them. You look at somebody like Cody Brookwell, who will come to him in a second, who's back with the Giants, but maybe we'd have thought of spread his wings and it would have headed into Europe. Is this an opportunity for a player like that to show himself? Or is it more of a distraction to these players who are be taken away from? These guys are going to be like head first into the league season. We don't know what, as I say, it might be premature to ask this question. We don't know what state we'll be in at that point, be it standing in the league or state of injuries or fatigue or anything like that. So is it going to be taking us away at a time that we may not want it?
Would it be fair to say that every team from the UK that's went to this Continental Cup in the last number of years, it hasn't done them any favours in the domestic scene, you know, so didn't do the Giants particularly any favours and the Panthers when they were defending their one title in the last 57 years either. And it is a very good question. You know, it can be a distraction that can be a season buster very quick, but, you know, it's only a month into the season. Hopefully we've recruited again and added to what was a very, very good squad last season. And hopefully these next signings will complement what we already have. And, you know, it's a long weekend away. Hopefully it's no more than that as a distraction, and it doesn't take away from it. Because at the end of the day, although the European trip is nice and it would be lovely to go through to a super final or whatever, it is probably pie in the sky to believe that we can go on and win one of these trophies. But, you know, our bread and butter is the Elite League, and that's the one that, as I said in August, that's the one that I'm looking for in April.
Coach, the same sort of vein as the question I just asked Davey, was it a no-brainer for the Giants to enter this competition? The same way, you know, we looked at the Champions League of hockey and we seem to have turned that down, or, you know, well, initially, and it wasn't for us. Is it a no-brainer that we went into the Continental Cup?
For me, yes. You know, if it's financially viable for the business to participate, then it's an absolute no-brainer for me. You know, you have to, sometimes in life, in business, whatever you want to call it, in sport, any aspect, you've got to speculate, to accumulate, and you've got to spread your wings at times and branch out and let kind of Europe see what the Belfast Giants are all about. Let them see our fan base. Get out there, try and progress, upset a few teams in Europe, progress to the next stage. You know, and it's all about highlighting our club and our league and what level we're at. Don't be under any illusions. The Elite League is improving year on year on year. It's up there now. You know, you go and speak to, I spoke to Paul Eddy many times last year. You know, he coached the previous season in Italy. He had coached in Switzerland previously. And, you know, he was saying to me, you know, the top end of the Elite League is on a par with pretty much the Italian league. You know, he said some of the Italian teams are superb, blah blah blah. But you know, the Elite League year on year, if you consider back to the Elite League's inception back in whenever it was 2004, 2005, you know, look at it now, it's getting better year on year, and it's more of a respected league. And I think any chance that we have as an organisation to fly the Elite League banner and most importantly for me, the Belfast Giants banner across Europe, take the opportunity, and that's what we're doing. And that's hopefully what we will do on the ice as well.
Well, as I said, those games take place between the 17th and the 19th of October in Bremerhaven in Germany. John, also in middle of June, we received the fixture list for the forthcoming Elite League season. And it begins with an away trip of 3 days across Scotland. Dundee away on the 5th of September will be the Belfast Giants' first game as part of a three-night Scottish road trip. And that's all in the Challenge Cup. Anything notable for you guys? Davey, I'll start with you. When you look at the fixture list, is there anything really stands out?
I think, once again, sort of November, December time, we're going to be on the road a lot. I think that last season, we spoke about it a few times, I think that road trip really galvanised us as a unit. Being away from our home comforts for so long and having to get the job done weekend after weekend after weekend. And then coming through that and suddenly having the whole of December with your home fans at your back, and then we hammered in the January and the league was over. You know, I think if we can go on that run again, a lot of players from this season know what it's all about going on that big long trip. You know, new guys to come in, put their arm around them, say this is how we're going to do this. And I think probably that section of the season, that's just after we come back from the first round of the Continental Cup.
Yeah,
we're heading away from the Odyssey for that road trip. And you know, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think it's bad for fans who are going to be disappointed that, you know, with 9 away games and the sort of 6 weeks there. But hey, it's an excuse for a few away trips. Get your flights and boats booked now and get away and watch an away game and get behind the boys on the road.
I agree. That road trip, that 8-game swing in the middle of November last season really galvanised the team. We did it as well, minus the likes of Darrell Lloyd, who wasn't playing. Was it Jeff Mason was out as
well?
Yeah,
Mason
was out as well. And it was a very difficult time for the Giants, and they had to, like I said, galvanise them and push them towards that league title. Coach, anything that stands out for you?
Whenever you start the season, for me, it's important to start every season off well. It kind of, you know, sets your stall out for the season ahead. And you know, over the last few years, we've started off very well, especially on the road. You know, we've had that hashtag Road Warriors, haven't we, now for the last 3 or 4 seasons, and quite rightly so, because our away record is so important. You know, I think from that perspective, trying to maintain that level is going to be very difficult this season. You know, the percentage wins that we have had on the road over the last 2 or 3 years has been phenomenal. It truly has. And I think this year it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be definitely a tighter league. You know, I think the team that ends up winning the league will have a lot more losses than say what we had last year. I just see it being more competitive. And I think best foot forward and all that, you know, making sure that we start the season off well. And you know, I know from having spoken to Thorns that he's got a hell of a lot lined up for pre-season for the guys. And hopefully whenever the guys all start arriving, I know quite a few have already arrived, and he'll have the guys whipped into shape and ready to go for that first weekend.
The looking at the fixtures myself, I see that we've got that what's now become a traditional post-Christmas series against the Brayhead clan. And also at the end of the season, this Panthers doubleheader, Davey, it seems to be set in stone now.
Yes, it seems to be. It's a fixture to look out for. You would imagine that the Panthers, the way they've recruited, are going to be very strong this season again. And you would expect the Giants to be challenged in Sheffield, you know. So come St. Patrick's weekend, big crowd over from Nottingham, sampling the St. Patrick's Day festivities and taking in a couple of big shoot, which have been notoriously big games of hockey this season. It was the Challenge Cup final first leg. Mm-hmm. And the league game was a bit of a dead rubber because we're already that in the bag. But you know, that's a fixture that a lot of people will be looking for as a potential title clash.
And then if you want to get the full set of fixtures, you can find them on kingdomofthegiants.com or also on the belfastgiants.com website. In about 3 weeks' time, guys, the pre-season games have been announced, and we'll be up against the Cardiff Devils under new ownership by some guy that from Canada. I don't know who.
Steve King.
Steve King. I couldn't remember. Is that the only? That's the only guy. Yeah. Under new ownership over in the big blue tent, and the Cardiff Devils will travel to the Odyssey Arena on 30th of August to take on the Belfast Giants. It looks like a bit of an attempt to start a bit of a rivalry, because the we also see that the Cardiff Devils will be back before September is out in a doubleheader in the AHL season. Coach, two big games for the Giants, but one of the controversial things that came out of this and a bit of backlash on social media is the fact that this isn't on the season ticket the way it was last year.
Listen, I've kind of jumped at a few people in a nice professional manner, may I add, but
other way I'd expect it.
It frustrates me to see some of the reaction that has come towards the club from the fan base. You know, typical reaction being, we had it last year, we had this last year, we had that last year. Honestly, Belfast Giants fans who are listening to this podcast, I will go on record as saying, we are given, as fans of the club, the fans of the club are given the best pricing across the entire Elite League for watching Elite League ice hockey. Our season ticket price has gone up by £30 this year from last year. Can't even remember the price, whatever it was last year. It's gone up by £30.
£300 to £330.
There you go. What the Belfast Giants provide, for goodness sake, we have Q&A sessions before every single game. The amount of meet the fan or meet the player events and all the rest, how accessible our players are to the fans. For goodness sake, over in Nottingham, Paddy, when Killer went over last year to do a Q&A session with Gary Moran and Brent Henley, they were charging £10 or £15 a fan to come in and actually participate in the Q&A event. You know, come on. You know, everyone is treated incredibly well by the organisation, and for a pre-season game not to be included as part of the package, okay, the Giants are maybe running a wee bit of a risk that there won't be as many people there for that pre-season game, but come on, if you're us three guys, we're itching for the season to get started. If you're in any way a true hockey fan, and I understand there are expenses for fans, of course, we all have our mortgages to pay, kids back to school and all the rest. I get that. And quite a lot with the way the Belfast Giants season ticket holders are certainly set up, it's very family orientated. So it's not just one ticket you're looking to purchase. It's maybe two adults and two or three kids. And all of a sudden that becomes an expensive night out. But if you look at it across what the Belfast Giants as an organization provide year in, year out, it's not much to ask. It really isn't.
What about that pricing point? The fact that it is the same price as a regular season game?
Okay, I would argue, and I've had this with Robert already, I would argue that I think that the price of that ticket should be, say, £10, £5 less than a normal Elite League fixture. At the end of the day, it is a pre-season game. It's a non-competitive fixture. Still think it'll be spicy enough once players hit the ice and all the rest, but at the end of the day, it's a trial game, and both coaches will be trying out different systems and, you know, different player options and all the rest, trying different players in different positions, all the rest. So I would have maybe priced it slightly differently. But in terms of the actual free ticket, we had this last year. You had it. You don't know how good you had it, to be perfectly honest with you, as a Belfast Giants fan.
Davey, is there any disappointment that it's the Cardiff? We look. Another thing, you know, last season, people are looking back to the last season and seeing that it was the Bolzano Foxes, and you know it was a really tough piece of competition for the Giants. Is there any disappointment that it's in inverted commas just Cardiff?
I don't think so, because you're pitting yourself against, you're able to find out very quickly the level that you want to be at. And I think with Cardiff and their new ownership, like Steve King, as you've said, Calgarian and another guy from Calgary played over 100 games for the Bracknell Bees back in the day. You know, he's got experience within British hockey as well, so he'll want to be putting himself on and seeing what level his Cardiff team are at. And, you know, for me, it is what Coach says. It's a run out for the guys over two nights against opposition that you'll be facing. You don't really learn an awful lot from playing the Bolzano Foxes, other than you get a good workout and and you see where you're at. But whenever you're actually playing guys that you're going to be playing in a couple of weeks, allows you to set maybe a bit of a marker down one night and just let's test the water of what the Elite League is going to be like this season.
Go ahead, coach.
No,
I was just going to say that the other thing that, which sometimes the fans may not be aware of, to bring the likes of the Bolzano Foxes across here, okay, it wasn't, you know, for example, let's take it right back to when we brought the Bruins over. The money involved in bringing the Bruins over would scare the life out of you. Bringing the Bolzano Foxes over, it isn't cheap either, folks. So it's not, you know, I don't know whether we broke even or just went at a slight loss for that Bolzano Foxes bringing them over last year. But we incurred a lot of the costs involved in that, which, you know, at the end of the day, the Belfast Giants is a business. And whilst the organisation continue to be as competitive, if not more competitive than any other Elite League team, including Edinburgh, Fife, Dundee, the whole shooting caboodle, at the end of the day, folks, this is a business. And the Belfast Giants have got to make ends meet. And that's exactly what the Belfast Giants are trying to do.
The whole shooting caboodle. That's a cracker there, coach. I'm going to jot that one down.
Is that the new ding, is it?
Look at those games then, Davey. You know, what do you think the fans can expect? Are the Giants trying to develop a rivalry here with the Cardiff, considering the relate you say about that guy, the Bracknell Bees fella? And then we've got our own coach, who's a former player for the Cardiff Devils, well-respected, well-loved in Cardiff. You know, are they trying to basically say, you know, bring ties and that sort of respect between the clubs?
I'm not too sure, Paddy. You know, we've been to every arena across the UK, and for me, and it's probably more so because you get to it more than any other of the away arenas, the Devils is a fantastic little tent there, and you get such a great atmosphere. You're close with the home fans. There's a lot of, we call it borderline aggressive banter, and it's, you know, we've had... You remember the night that we were giving Stevie Lyle the bird, and just as they scored, fantastic to have like a 65-year-old woman up screaming in your face. You know, there's a rivalry there, and you know, anything that, you know, that guy from Bracknell we were talking about, anything he can do to get more bums on seats, get more people through the door, if it's creating a rivalry with Belfast, and likewise in Belfast, if it's going to get an extra couple of hundred people through the door, I'm all for it.
I'm waiting for the first Kelman video of him sitting burning something to do with his time with the Belfast Giants. Some, I don't know, something in relation to his time here, you know, trying to stoke it up and all the rest as Todd does. You know, I'm expecting that to come at some stage.
Just to jump in there, to go back one while we're talking there, I was just looking up the Devils website. £445 for an adult ticket to sit in. Basically, if you haven't been, it is a tent in a car park with an ice rink. And, you know, the Giants for £330, it's £115 less you're paying to go and sit in a state-of-the-art arena, to have the ability to go to a Q&A session with Neil the Coach Russell before the game starts. Things like that just don't happen in Cardiff. You know, your beers, to be fair, the beer's ice cold because it's been sitting outside all day. But it's you know, the value that the Belfast Giants are giving you with a season ticket. If you've to add an extra £15 to it, I'm sure the Cardiff Devils season or pre-season friendly against us isn't free either.
I just had a quick look here, boys, just out of interest. The an adult season ticket for the Manchester Phoenix is £351. That's in a warehouse in the EPL. So yeah, it sort of puts a lot of. I agree with you, David. It puts a lot of it in perspective.
The thing I would say about it is, whenever you bought your season ticket, it was £330 for whatever, 28 games. You knew what you were buying. So 6 weeks down the line, when a pre-season friendly is announced and it says it's not on your season ticket, I don't know why you're surprised. And I don't know why you would shout about it. It's like buying a car and coming back and saying, this doesn't have rear parking sensors. You didn't pay for them.
Listen,
whatever.
You're not gonna please everyone all of the time, end off, but what the organisation provide for our fans on and off the ice is second to none. Let's not forget that.
Agreed.
Let's look back at our own team, gentlemen. July was quite the June and July were quite quiet months, I suppose, or late June and all of July, until the very end when The signature of Cody Brookwell was put down on a Belfast Giants contract. 30 points last season. Rock solid at the back and part of one of the best defensive pairings in the Elite League alongside Calvin Elfring. Coach, got to be a happy man at that signature.
Oh, absolutely ecstatic, Paddy, I have to say. I know that he has been courted around Europe by quite a few clubs, and I think he may well have a lot of interest from one of the big powerhouses here in the Elite League as well. But he stayed loyal to the Belfast Giants. And it goes back to what we've mentioned on many podcasts over the last year since the Odyssey Trust took over, the whole Robert Fitzpatrick building the dynasty. And, you know, we've been able to to bring Cody back for another season. You know we were in communication with his father at the end of last season. And, you know, his dad was very much, you know, if he doesn't end up picking up a top European type club, he would love him and want him to come back to Belfast for the way in which he was treated, both on and off the ice. So it's phenomenal having him and Elfring back. Hopefully Thorch goes with that partnership as well. I know Thorch is fully up to speed on how successful that partnership was, and it really was. You know, Elfring was able to glide up the ice, and Brookwell, as you say, Paddy, was a fantastic stay-at-home D-man. And towards the end of the season, he seemed to kind of start throwing the body about a good bit more as well. And I think this season, you know, we're starting to see a lot more kind of, I don't know, bigger guys in front of the net, but a bit more of the power forward creeping into the league. And I think Brookwell will have to utilise the body a wee bit more this season than maybe he did in the first half of the season. But in terms of his overall defensive play and how steady he was, absolutely phenomenal.
Davey, for such a young lad, and as Coach said, he probably had no end of offers. It's great for the Giants to have him back. He was. We look at that. It ultimately failed for us in that playoff final, but Cody Brookwell was superb.
He was, and it's unfortunate that Cody was one of the ones that was involved in the game winning goal for Sheffield, because the guy was out on his feet. Cody played, I would say, easily 40 plus minutes in the playoff final. How many games on the penalty kill was he playing the full 2 minutes? You know, he's a beast of an athlete for anything apart from anything else. We have him in the prime of his career here, age 27. This guy could and possibly should be playing at a higher level within Europe. You know, if not back in America, he's taken the opportunity to come across and have the experience of living in Europe for a few years. We are blessed that we have this guy on our roster. From the first game we saw him last season, if you go back to all the chats we had with the likes of Paul Eddy, the first away game of the season, we chatted to him afterwards about the partnership between Elfie and Brookwell. And Paul Eddy just couldn't believe how quickly those two just gelled with each other. And you had the wily old fox and the young stud, and they just went on all season. As you said earlier, their coach about as one of the best pairings in the EIHL, I'd say they're one of the best pairings that the Giants have had in the last 15 years.
No
comfortably stand over that at any level. Those two guys could have played ISL hockey together. No doubt about it. And I'm delighted to have them back, and I'm delighted that we're probably at some stage over the weekend, the three of us are going to be, our voices are going to be heard in Calgary around the Brookwell family kitchen table. So it's good to have them on board again for another season. And
absolutely.
We'll continue to, as Coach would say, wax lyrical about the big
ding,
lad as long as he keeps doing it on the blue line.
Well, let's come back to the fact that, you know, he's part of the, and I agree with you in regards to, it's fantastic to have him back, and hello to the Brookwell family. The fact that it is the 100% of that decor is returned, Coach. We talked last season about when so many players were able to come back into the Giants that we were able to hit the ground running with that chemistry. This is a situation where that whole block, that whole D block is there. It's ready. It's played together. It's won a championship together. They know how to play together. Now, does Steve Thornton look at that and try to change it in any way, to add his own little thing, to bring his own touch to that defensive core? Or does he just say, lads, just keep going?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Simple as. You know, last season, that, you know, our D were absolutely superb. And obviously, Elfring being a real standout along with Brookwell. But like one guy that we rarely mentioned, but he had another good season, was Robbie Sandrock. Came up with some massively important goals. A fantastic hockey player. This guy went and played DEL for years as well after coming to us 10, 12 years ago. The guy was a phenomenal hockey player. Coming towards the end of his career, maybe another season or two in Robbie, but he's still a top end. Like, we saw Sylvain Clouthier at the end of the season saying, unequivocally, Robbie Sandrock, best D-man in the league, in his opinion. That's everyone sees something different in every player. For me, Elfring was the major standout. Jeff Mason, you know, maybe didn't start the season off that brilliantly, and then came from Christmas onwards, came into a league of his own. And then the two Phillips brothers, they were absolute. I couldn't fault the two Phillips brothers last year at all. Davey, his skating improved massively. His physical play, he bulked up massively over the summer. Got himself really fit. He was physical. He was in the opposition forward's faces. He was defensively sound, as was Kevin. Kevin made the simple play all the time. He knows he's not a Robbie Sandrock or a Jeff Mason or a Calvin Elfring who can glide past two or three players. He plays a simple game. He goes tape to tape. And, you know, Stephen Murphy behind those guys, phenomenal. Absolutely over the moon that we were able to bring all those guys back.
Davey, is this though, and I fully understand what the way the coach's attitude to that, and I totally agree, but it can it be a double-edged sword? Because you think about how other coaches in this league, and more or less all the coaches are the same, you know, how they've had a full season against that defensive unit. So they've had a full season to suss them out. So do they know, it would be quicker to unlock it if we don't make some sort of tweak?
They had, a good coach would have worked the Belfast Giants defence out in the time they had. They hadn't worked it out by the end of the season. You know, the Giants didn't concede the least number of goals over the season by chance. And for me, the three partnerships that they have are, as coach has already said, the three partnerships work so well together. I would never ever come on the internet and tell a hockey coach how to what to do or to change. But you know, as coaches said,
I would.
Anything for an argument.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, kind of thing. You know, the Giants have that. You know, it's up the other coaches to work out. The players are still as good as they were last season, if not better. You know, we have Kevin Phillips is developing all the time as a player. Jeff Mason is in that third defensive pairing role. You know, the experience that each player brings to the younger D-man in each of the pairings, Elfring to Brookwell, Sandrock to Phillips, and Mason to Phillips, is something that money cannot buy, and you can't coach that either. So
this is something that is. Sorry, David, jumping in on you again there. This is probably more of a team comment in general terms, but so many of the guys are returning. And whilst we were so dominant last year and winning the Earhart Conference, winning the league by an absolute country mile, losing in the final of the Challenge Cup and losing in the last seconds of the playoff final in overtime, that is, listen, you talk to Elfring, Keith, Peacock, all these guys, these things are sticking in those guys' minds. That's, I think, part of the reason why they also want to come back and kind of put that all to bed, because we know how dominant the team we were last year. And we should, like, let's make no bones about it, we should have won the Grand Slam last year. And I still think, even though we had a successful season, I still think there's a few hurt players in there who will come back with renewed vigour for the new season.
Well, looking also at one of the other signings that took place just in the last few days is a new name. Mark McCutcheon comes in from Ithaca, New York, 6'1", 30-year-old centre. Had quite a bit of experience in Norway, Denmark. He won a championship in Italy with Bolzano. And he's also had a bit of time with Dusseldorf in the DEL. Davey, what do you think of this guy?
Paddy, without seeing a guy in the flesh, it's very hard to comment. You know, when he sort of, you'll hear his interview later in the show, and you know, he kind of pulled you up, not pulled you up, but sort of said to you, you're obviously reading some stats there. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's easy to scurry off the elite prospects or the older version of Hockey Database if you're a coach, and look and see what a player's stats are and try and make an assessment from that. You know, I've been reading a bit about him on different sites of the week, and they say that he's a guy that has very good speed, and he drives the net, and he's got endless energy, he likes to play the body, he sees the ice well, you know, all things that would remind you of a Dustin White cutting. I would never, it's very, very hard to compare player to player. But, you know, if we get a player that's a percentage of a Dustin White cutting, then Steve Thornton's pulled another great signing out of the bag.
Coach?
The jury's out, just purely based on statistics. And for me, and just some of the kind of digging that we saw online yesterday from various different people. Listen, you're not a bad player if you go and play DEL and play in some of the leagues that McCutcheon's done. And he played over in Italy, had a standout year 2 years ago, I think it was. A real standout year. I think the year his father was a coach as well at that team over in Italy. I can't remember who it is now. But Bolzano. He's obviously a good hockey player. It'll just be interesting to see who he's there to replace. In essence, you know, I don't see him as a replacement for a Jeffrey Swayze, for example. I think that's still to come, that big all scoring power forward type player, hopefully. Jury's out. It'll be, you know, time will tell and all the rest, but and Thornton we trust and all the rest. And you know, as Keller said many, many occasions, he's a master recruiter, and he's not naive in his recruiting. So let's wait until we actually see the guy on the ice.
Steve Thornton describes him as, on the Belfast Giants website, as a complete player. He'll get stuck in and will make players around him better. As Davey says, you know, he seems to be a speedy player with a lot of grit. And I look back to the last season, like you say, he does. We'll hear this interview in just a couple of seconds, but he does pull me up with the fact that I'm obviously reading a lot of stats off elite prospects. But that's what we do. And you think about like last season, we looked at a player called Chris somebody, and his stats didn't look great, and a lot of people, including myself, I hold my hands up, shrugged my shoulders when I saw it and went, doesn't look like a great player. And there were a lot of fans up and down the country saying exactly the same, saying, I don't know why they're even bothering. You know, there were obviously reasons to pick up this player. And we'll hear from Steve Thornton in a short while as well, where he says about his, you know, having to scout these players and get the people with the right characters in the dressing room. And McCutcheon, you know, he if he is half the player that his stats a couple of years ago say, then, you know, that's great to come into the Belfast Giants squad.
I think from our perspective, and maybe it's because we as fans now are looking right across the Elite League and seeing the standard of player coming in, just getting better and better and better year on year out, or year in year out, and this season especially. So you're constantly looking for that real standout player. I couldn't agree more with you. I can remember last year when Higgins signed, it was kind of like it was 80's first signing. You know, he had only a couple of players to sign. One of them was Higgins. You were thinking, okay, we've seen one YouTube clip of him dangling the puck and going top shelf on the goalie in university game. But like, jeepers, his stats, he's been injured a lot and blah, 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 blah. You just never know with this type of guy. You know, he, as we said, he had a fantastic year over in Bolzano. And here's hoping he comes in, settles well, buys into the whole dynasty aspect here and the team chemistry that currently exists with the Giants, and he has a stellar season for us.
Let's hear from him. I spoke to Mark McCutcheon yesterday. He's at home in New York, and I began by asking him, you know, how moving to the Giants came about.
So I've been talking to the coach, Steve Thornton, all summer, and actually I've spoke to previous coaches in the past, and it's always been a intriguing place. I know a couple buddies of mine have played there in the past, and at some point I wanted to come back and finish with a little bit of school or just finish in the Belfast area. So this was the year that everything kind of came together for me, and then just everything worked out really well. So I'm excited to get there.
So tell the Belfast Giants fans about yourself. You know, you've had quite a bit of NCAA action. You know, you went into the AHL, ECHL. What sort of player are you?
I think just they can expect kind of a hard-working forward, enough skill to put up points when put in the right situation. I've done that a bit over in Europe, and I've also played the hard-working checking role in Germany and places like that. So for sure hardworking and with the ability to put up some points as well.
Excellent. You spent, like I say, you had a bit of time in the AHL with Lake Erie and Portland and Manitoba Moose, and also in the ECHL with Idaho and Johnstown. What makes you make the move to Europe? Because you went over to Germany and then on to Vålerenga. Where does the decision come that you want to maybe take a chance on the European game?
Well, I think I gave it a good shot back in North America for the first 3 years or so, and like you can see from the stats you're looking at, the second half of my third year, I kind of went and played in Idaho in the East Coast, and that was kind of my sign that maybe it was better for me to head over to Europe and get that experience and see how that went. And everything went great as soon as I got over there, and I really have enjoyed my time in Europe playing hockey and getting that type of experience. So everything worked out great for me, and I was lucky that it did. So I'm pretty happy with the experiences so far and looking forward to some more.
Your time in Germany, so you say you're playing a lot of Czech now, you might have come up against players. It's a small hockey community, I'm just thinking, and we've also obviously got the likes of Calvin Elfring on our own side. Are there any players you know from your time playing in Europe or in North America that you feel you'll come across again in your time in the UK?
Oh, I think I don't know too many guys on the Belfast team actually, but there are guys all throughout the league that I see that are signing that I've either played with or played against somewhere along the line. So yeah, there'll be a lot of familiarity for me this year, I think.
And of course, you spent a lot of time in Italy, where I believe you played for your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my second. The second half of my first year in Italy, and then the whole second year, my father was a coach, so that was a great experience. He spent a lot of time coaching in North America, mm-hmm. and it was a great step for him to be able to come over and contribute to our team, and I think he helped a lot. And actually, he's still coaching now. He's in Germany this year.
Yeah, he's moved on to Cologne, hasn't he?
After
a glittering career, he was with the Buffalo Sabres for quite a while.
Yeah, I think he was with Buffalo organization for about 13 years. Mm. And then he took a year off, and then the opportunity came up to coach my team in Italy. So he kind of jumped at that, and it was a big help for us.
So as your career's developed over the years, you know, you look back to when you took up the game of hockey and playing as a junior and working your way through. What player did you want to be? Everybody has their icon. Everybody starts the game obviously not thinking they're going to be Wayne Gretzky, but maybe wanting to emulate Wayne Gretzky. Who as you were growing up, was the player you wanted to be most like?
I always grew up idolizing Peter Forsberg back in his Colorado. He was just kind of
immense.
I thought he played hockey the right way, real tough guy, but obviously he had a really good offensive side too. So that's one of the guys that I look to kind of formulate my game after.
And when you find yourself in Europe, did you see your game changing any? As you move team to team, do you find yourself having to fit a role? Or has your game been that standard hardworking player all the way through your career?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like I mentioned before, I don't the hardworking part never changes. Mm-hmm. And depending on, it just depends on what team, what league you're in, how much you're relied upon offensively. Some teams have been relied heavily on, and then others you kind of are relied more on for your defensive capabilities and your hardworking nature. So mm-hmm. I think that all depends on your team and whatever league you're playing in too.
And then what do you know of the Elite League, you know, the style of play there?
I'm not too familiar with it. You know, like I said, I know some players that are in the league now and have played there in the past. So I think it'll be a bit of a feeling out process to get a little more information as we go. But I'm looking forward to that part too.
And lastly, just to ask you, the league season begins only in a few short weeks. You know, you'll be coming over to Belfast and trying to get used to the accents and settling in. What do you do in your summer to sort of keep your game on? Do you continue to train through the summer, or do you treat that as some serious downtime?
No, I take a few weeks, so maybe a month off at the end of the season as far as training and skating, and then straight back into the training all summer long. So that's you know, that's still my job in the summer, and I treat it like that. And for the past few weeks or so, I've been starting to skate and starting to increase the intensity in that as we get closer and closer to the season.
And that's Mark McCutcheon, new sign for the Belfast Giants. Thanks to him, we look forward to seeing him here in Belfast. Guys, let's have a quick look around the league. There's been a lot happening since we last spoke, not least a rule change, or a couple of rule changes in the Elite League. First of all, the introduction of hybrid icing over touch icing. Davey, do you want to give us a bit of a... I'm going to leave Davey to explain it, because Davey's our stats and rules man.
So coach doesn't want to have a blast at this one?
Otherwise known as the nerd. The gig.
You don't want to have a blast at this then, coach, no?
Go on ahead, Giggy.
Currently...
We internet nerd, go on ahead.
Currently, the system for icing is that the D-man has to touch the puck before the opposition forward.
All right, coach. I will mute you in a second.
And to avoid injuries, which have been becoming more commonplace with the forward chasing in and maybe catching the D-man and pushing them in the boards, there's been a lot of neck injuries and that, especially across North America. They've brought in the hybrid icing. It's been in the NHL for either one or two seasons now. And it basically... past the circle dots, the face-off dots in the circle, if the D-man is there before the forward, then icing is whistled off straight away. If the forward beats the D-man to the puck past the face-off dots, then it's fair game to go and get it.
That's pretty much the
nuts and bolts. Nothing in front of me, coach. That's just...
Just hockey knowledge. Coach, do you
just
think
hockey
this is
nice,
a,
yeah.
Considering this, coach, do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing to be introduced into the Elite League?
If it's going to prevent injuries, which, as Davey says, we have seen probably more so over the last few years, and it makes more sense. You know, I noticed Tom Darnell tweeting about this the other night. You know, and he thinks it's going to be a good thing, and if one of the top officials thinks it's a good thing, then I'm all in favour of it.
Davey, what about the actual policing of this? Because the Elite League referees get enough stick as it is. This sort of brings a bit more complication for three officials on the ice.
I'm not 100% sure it does. There is four officials on the ice, far enough, in North America that don't get too many of them wrong. And when you've got a straight skate out and, you know, the line is drawn between the two face-off dots, it should be fairly straightforward to see who's getting there first. I actually think it should reduce the amount of bad calls.
One of the other rules that's been changed is the increase in the size of the offensive zones. All offensive zones are to be increased to 22.86 metres from the end of the rink. All rinks have to adhere to this by the start of next season, the 2015-2016 season, with select rinks having it this season, including the Motorpoint Arena and the NIC for the Challenge Cup final and the playoffs finals, respectively, at least. I'd expect maybe they'd be painted before the season starts, but that's up to the teams, I suppose.
I see the Odyssey have already announced that they're increasing it from the start of this season. So,
yep.
Is that a good thing? Will that make for a more entertaining game, do you think?
I don't know. I find the whole of Nottingham a bit of an offensive zone, but it's a larger area to play the puck in, so it should technically bring more goals to the game. So that's what the rule makers want. They want more goals all the time. They've increased the size of the nets. They've reduced the size of goalie pads over the last number of years. So
I think it's brought in just to try and maintain the fluency of the game that wee bit more. You know, you look at the amount of offside calls that are called throughout the course of a game. You know, it's always a commentator's curse in a lot of ways. You know, it just disrupts the play and the amount of calls that are made on it. So anything that allows for the game to just flow that wee bit better, then again, all in favour of it.
Let's have a look around the league with regards to the other rosters, gents. Quite a few signings and quite a few talking points, but we're going to go through a list of all the teams. I'll just ask yourselves, you know, I'll start with you, Davey. When you look across both the Gardiner and the Earhart Conference, are there any names there that really stand out, or any teams that seem to be bulking up or causing a real stir?
Well, Coventry have obviously signed three great players in Gertsen, Rullock and Tendler, and I think that with the Fed having an opportunity to coach that team and as he put it last year, getting rid of the country club mentality. You know, I think Coventry are well set to have a good season. Dundee obviously bringing in Evan Cheverie's brother in the Nets this season. Jeff Hutchins is again recruited well, and he's brought in a very big name. And Jade Galbraith, you know, Rennie Jarlin's back with Edinburgh. That's, you know, there's players. Matt Keith, another player that's came in the Brayhead. There's players all around the league now that are real big names.
A lot of people going off on one about Matt Keith, about like he's some sort of massive signing for Brayhead. I don't really see it myself. You know, you look at his, yeah, he was, you know, he has quite a bit of experience, especially, you know, playing for like the Islanders and playing for the Blackhawks, and, you know, and a lot of like experience like 10, 12 years ago. But his experience seems to be on the way, and maybe he's got a lot of Scottish heritage. It's obviously brought him to Glasgow. But I'm just being nitpicking. But he doesn't seem to be as big a signing as a lot of people are making out.
Well, coach is the man to talk about Scottish hockey there. So
go on, anything stand out for you, coach?
I think the one that stands out was the signing yesterday by Dundee, the guy Mitchell.
Yeah.
just looking at his resume yesterday. Looks like a proper player, and Jeff John's gone and picked up another beauty there. So he has, you never know what you're going to get from Jade Galbraith. You know, if he turns up 3 stone overweight and all the rest, and out partying 4 nights a week, then he could be absolutely useless for them. But then again, he did that for Nottingham, and he was absolutely sublime for them. But I think Jeff John has done a remarkable job in Dundee with what you would think is a fairly low to average budget compared to some of the big boys. You know, he brought in the likes of Rory Rollick last year, and he was, for me, a major standout D-man in the league. He's lost him to Coventry. But yeah, the likes of Mitchell and Galbraith, two big signings.
And also, I'm just looking at Fife as well. It's good to see that, you know, Davey's favourite player, Ned Lukasiewicz, is there, and coach's favourite one, Bobby
Sharma.
It's also, they seem to be putting together, like, that whole Gardner conference itself seems to be bulking up. Maybe, coach, you might even pay a bit of attention to it.
I'll pay attention. I paid attention to it okay last year, just not the Edinburgh Capitals. I dislike the fact that they recruit so late and start the season off with bare bones. And just the overall quality that just, for me, just do not. You know, how many signings have they made so far this season? I'm looking at the agenda here as we speak, and I see, well, they've got Rennie Yarland, Portwood, Hadlowski back in there. Three pretty good signings there. Hadlowski had a pretty good season for the Caps again last year. But, you know, I just resent their business model as a member of the EIHL. I'd be looking for somebody else to take the Edinburgh Capitals position in the league.
They appear to have 10 players signed up at this moment in time. What about, I'll come back to you, dude. What about Sheffield? One of the names that seems to have been a bit of a talking point is Tyler Musienko, a guy who has a really good resume, has really good stats, and seems to be a player that is a little bit too good for this league. But he also has a bit of baggage with regards to the fact he was banned for spot fixing against his own team. But, you know, if Gerard Adams can bring in a player of that standard based on a pass like that, does he really need to worry about it?
No, I'd be very surprised if there's not more than Tyler Musienko that has had a little punt on a hockey game in the past. You know, they seem to be well loaded with talent this season. Mm. I would say that, you know, they're always boasting about their big budget. They've certainly went big budget. It was checkbook hockey is back in Sheffield, that's for sure.
And then, of course, Coach, the Nottingham Panthers seem to... I would love to talk about the Nottingham Panthers roster, but I'm not actually entirely sure which Nottingham Panthers roster we're actually going to face, because they seem to have signed every import available in Europe. So, you know, some of it seems really interesting, but there's a lot of guys there that are on short-term contracts for the CHL, which we'll speak about in a second.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure Corey will have sat down at the end of last season. It's patently obvious where he needed to strengthen. I have no doubt that he'll have gone and recruited well this year, you know, with the Champions League as well. I'm sure he's been able to attract a higher quality player as well in there. And Nottingham are always there or thereabouts, and I just can't for the life of me see the Panthers having another season like they had last season. Corey Nielsen is not a man that settles for second best very easily, sets very high standards as a coach, as he did as a player. And you know, looking at some of the signing, as you say, like, you can nearly pick a Nottingham A team and a Nottingham B team out of that, to be brutally honest with you, the amount of signings that they've made. So it's going to be interesting to just see who's left after the whole Champions League has finished off.
Well, let's have a quick chat about the Champions League of hockey. We'll be talking to Murph in a second. It's live on Premier Sports. Since we last spoke, the teams that the Panthers will be facing were announced, and that's going to be the Lukko-Rauma of Finland, Luella of Sweden, and the Hamburg Freezers of the DEL. They're all tough opponents. The Panthers are 44th seed. You know, obviously the guys in the Cats Whiskers TV, our friends Jono, Paul and Aaron, are showing some optimism coming in that they might get a scalp. You have to, I suppose, because otherwise, you know, you may as well not go to the games. You have to think that, you know, you're entering that competition to give some form of competition against the other teams. But Davey, you know, and I'm starting with Davey with regards to the Panthers, but anyway, what do you think they can expect? Do you think their optimism is misplaced, or do you think they're actually building a roster that will be able to not compete, but maybe cause a surprise?
I think at home they're bound to be difficult enough to beat. I'm sure that Panthers fans will come out in numbers and get behind their team and make it a bit of a fortress for them, and you just never know in hockey. You can have a very good night, and Kowalski has the ability to steal games on his own at times. But, you know, as you say, there might be 44 seed, but I think the 44 imports in now anyway. So, you know, the opportunity there, the TCW guys are hoping for a scalp. You know, as far as it goes, it could happen, but it's not something I'll be losing any sleep over for if they're pumped in double figures.
Coach?
I'm the same, but obviously a bit more. I don't know. From a Nottingham perspective, as a fan within the Elite League, I personally hope Nottingham do well in the competition. I hope they represent the Elite League well and go out. Well, I think if they don't, you know, if Nottingham, you know, get a 3 or 4 hammerings, you know, what are players around Europe going to be thinking about the Elite League? Thinking, you know, mustn't be the greatest of standards and all the rest. I hope Nottingham go out and acquit themselves very well and represent the league very well. Personal opinion.
I think it's ding. That's a new one.
What about you, Paddy?
I think that they're up against it. They're up against three teams whose budget, despite you'd consider the Nottingham Panthers are probably the largest budget in the Elite League. And they're up against teams that probably have 3 or 4 times their budget to begin with. They have a real, real problem. They're signing some good players, I will admit. But the players they are signing are still not a patch on. You look at the Hamburg Freezers, right? They're probably going to come up against Sebastian Caron. Sebastian Caron, yeah, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sebastian Caron, a guy who's got a wealth of NHL experience and was backstopped the Hamburg Freezers to top of the DEL going into the playoffs, top of the regular season last season. You know, you look at somebody like, you know, Patrick Paul, a guy who's come through the system at Icebarn, another great player. These guys, you know, they've got a Matteo Ra, not the one that signed for Sheffield, but a different one. And he's another great player. These guys who are playing for the Hamburg Freezers are top level players. You look at Nico Kramer's come through the system at Landshut. Another, you know, these are players that are far and above that. If the Nottingham Panthers came knocking on their door, they probably wouldn't get them. And yet the Panthers have picked up some players. They picked up like some Nathan Robinson, who we saw play for Icebarn quite a few years ago. And he's a good player. But there's a reason why he signed for the Nottingham Panthers. He's not still in the DEL. It's because he's not able to get a slot late on. But are you really telling me that guys like Bruce Graham is good enough to score against Sebastian Caron? He might nip a goal, but he's not that great. And there's a reason why the likes of Brandon Benedict's been stuck in Nottingham for years and not gone straight back in the European competition. These guys will give it a good shot. It's a really good opportunity for the Nottingham Panthers. But I can't see anything but 6 defeats. Because the teams they're coming up against are far, far, far superior, and they'll be going on, and you know, as many imports as Nottingham like to put in, and I see they've added another netminder to the mix today just on a short term CHL contract. And fair play to him. Good luck to them. But I can't see it going well. Anyway. is that the sort of answer you're looking for, Davey?
Fantastic.
Listen, it is an opportunity for them, and it'll be interesting to see. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing the games. I'm looking forward to seeing how they do against the Hamburg Freezers and against the Swedish team and the Finnish team, because we'll be able to gauge what standard the Elite League's at. Maybe not fairly, because a lot of these guys are in short-term contracts and they're able to put on more imports than they would do in Elite League competition. But it will give us a bit of maybe a minor indication as to where we sit, especially if it was to come the next season and say the Giants wanted to go in to the Champions League or hockey, were they to take the league title. Here's hoping. Good luck to the Nottingham Panthers, and we'll be interested to see how they go. With the start of the season not that far away, the great news is that the Elite League will once again be on Premier Sports. And joining us is friend of the show and the man behind the mic, Mr. Aaron Murphy. How are you, mate?
Ah, pleasure. Great to be on the show, and great to be one step or one week closer to the season. I'm starting to get that summer itch, and this is our annual kickstart here, boys.
It's great news that the Elite League's back on Premier Sports having that regular game, because we didn't have it until, you know, I think it was about November of last season. Now the Premier Sports are getting a proper shot at a full season of Elite League hockey. What can we come to expect?
I think it's your great point. It's vital to have the start of the season, or even like, you know, the first few weeks of the season, or some tasty matchups, because the great thing about the start of any hockey season is everyone still has a chance to win. Now, realistically, we know that's not true, but in the hearts and minds of players and fans alike, everyone on that opening night, or those at least that first month, you still have a chance to make things happen and to do special things. So hopefully we'll catch some of those moments straight from the get-go, and we won't be playing catch-up kind of like we were last year. Now, in saying that, it was kind of just the way it boiled down last year. So we've got a good relationship there between broadcaster and the league now, and I think the teams and fans and viewers alike. So I think we can expect an improvement on last year. I mean, I obviously have higher targets. I know the production crew does and the broadcaster does, and the league expects more too. There was a lot of sort of let's improve this and let's work on that. So you'll have to tune in. But once we know the fixture list and that all gets finalized, that's when it starts to get really exciting.
How does that actually get set up, Murph, in terms of the actual fixture list? Who actually sits down and decides where and where Premier go?
Well, Premier will submit a list, I would imagine, in the next week or so. They really wanted to get the deal done, and obviously announcing it this week, there's still a little bit of time, but not enough time to waste and sit around and celebrate that the deal is done. I'd say probably next week they'll submit a list. Obviously, the fixtures are out, and they've looked over that. They've asked me my opinion on a few things. So what Premier do is they'll submit a list and just make sure. Obviously, last year there was good communication between league and broadcaster. This year, I hope there will be even more communication, and we'll get fixtures done, and it'll be tasty fixtures that will, you know, provide a chance to see everyone from the get go. And I would imagine, hopefully, in the next week or so, coach will have a list of at least maybe the first four or five fixtures.
What sort of feedback did you get from last season? You know, it was a lot of those early games are maybe, you know, as you say, tasters trying to get into the way of covering the Elite League, and you know, it seemed to go really, really well. What sort of feedback did you get as the season progressed?
95% positive, you know, and I think no matter what the business model, and especially in broadcasting, 95% of people saying they really enjoyed it, and you're always going to have feedback, and you're not going to hit a home run every time. Even Hockey Night in Canada gets bad feedback, so I think the feedback we got was mostly good. People were glad to be able to see a live game of the week, to be able to tune in when they couldn't travel, and you know, we did some neat things last year that were new to the viewer in the UK, because we brought in locals, we brought in, you know, Patty yourself and Colt were on the show, and we did some neat things. We had guys like Mac Faulkner on the show and Ben Olsen and, you know, the Adam Henrik. So we tried to do different things. So how exactly it's going to look this year, I would tell you if I knew, but we've got a meeting early next week to discuss that and a few of the moments and the things that we liked from last year and some other things we're going to shine up and try and make a little bit better. But the feedback was like people enjoyed tuning in. People really enjoyed the interaction. You know, we would give shout outs and try and interact with people before, during, and after the broadcast. We really wanted it to be an Elite League show encompassing the fans, the viewers, the players, the owners. I think we did a pretty good job, and I think we can do even better, and that's what I'm really excited about.
And then, of course, as well as the Elite League coverage, coming up in just the next few short weeks, we've got the Champions League of Hockey and the Nottingham Panthers taking part in that. It's not just the Panthers of Premier League covering. It's wider into the Champions League of Hockey, especially when it comes to the knockout stages. And that sort of gives a whole package for involvement with hockey for Premier.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. You know, it's going to be really neat. And I hope the Panthers do well. They've made some interesting signings. They certainly have picked up some guys in the short term just for that tournament. But you know, you're going to get to see like some really, really good teams from Sweden and Switzerland and Germany. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's going to be a really good flavor, a cornucopia of hockey for UK viewers. And I can't wait to get down to those knockout stages. I mean, it's going to be really high end hockey, and it's going to be live. We're going to really have some neat fixtures. And over the first month or so, if you go to premiersports.tv, you'll see the list there. And we've teams from Germany, the Panthers, Switzerland. It's going to be really, really cool.
It's going to be tough for the Panthers, Murph. No question about that. But what chances do you hold out for the Nottingham Panthers in this competition?
It's, you know what, well said. It's going to be really tough for them. You know, but it's going to be tough for a lot of teams. You know, they're not the only sort of smaller team, but they've got that big arena. They've got a good fan base. So I expect that they're going to be really tough at home. They've got some tough travel on the away fixture, so we'll see how they go. But they got enough bodies that they shouldn't be too fatigued, because, like we said, they've signed a lot of guys to make sure that they don't have, you know, tired legs. But I think at home, don't be surprised if they sneak a win, or if they make it very difficult at home. I think some of those teams going in there will be really surprised at how loud the UK fans are, the Panther fans are. And I think on home ice at the NIC, a beautiful building, geez, you know, they could be tough at home, and you know what? Corey Nielsen is a fantastic coach. That's a team that's not going to be in that tournament to make up the numbers. They're going to try and sneak a few wins, and I hope they'll be competitive, and I hope they get a win at home.
How do you think the league's shaping up, Mitt? As a whole, you know, a lot of teams in the Earhart Conference, especially in the Gardner Conference, are getting a lot stronger as this off season goes on. This season looks like the Giants, you know, walked the league title last season. It doesn't look like it's going to be that easy this year.
I don't think it's going to be easy for whoever gets that league crown, and whoever goes on to playoff success or Challenge Cup. It's not going to be easy to win hardware in this year's EIHL. Some of the signings have been phenomenal, and I've been in the UK and Ireland for 10 years now, and I don't remember an off season that I was really this excited about. I mean, I know it's always during the lockout, you know, you've got some NHL guys coming over, but you also know that they're going to go back if the lockout ends. But this off season has been high end, and the big thing that I see is maybe not even a player, and it's probably something that you don't want to hear, and it's probably something your listeners don't want to hear, but I think you know where I'm going with this, don't you, boys? The biggest news for me was Todd Kelman leaving his post to take on a new challenge. And
doesn't ring a bell.
They're going to breathe new life into a franchise that's, you know, sorely needed it. And I think they're going to return to the playoff, to maybe the Final Four. Like last year, missing the Final Four was the first time in a long time. And they're going to be back knocking, and that's going to be a tough team, and that's going to be a tough barn to play in. The final season at the BBT could be a real, real show for Devils fans.
And Aaron, we've talked there about the Cardiff. What do you think of the other conference? Do you think this season any of them will come any closer to challenging for the big prize?
Well, you know, there's a lot of rumors about Brayhead. I like what they've done there, and I liked Brayhead last year. I like Ryan Finnerty. I like his gritty, no nonsense approach. I like the fact that he can be a player's coach, but he can really knuckle down as well. You know what, Dundee, I really like Shane Lust. They went and got Lusty, and you know what, they brought back a guy who's a bit of an enigma, you know, but a guy who can score a lot of goals. It'll be tough for Dundee to win that conference again, but that'll be interesting. It's good to see the Scottish team so competitive. I can tell you from doing games on Premier last year, I really liked going to Scotland.
Well, you're one of the hardest working men when it comes to getting up and down the country, mate. How, you know, you had the Elite League, you had the Olympics, you had the World Championships. What have you done in the last couple of weeks to sort of take
Don't forget
time off?
Giants Live.
Oh, Giants Live TV. That's right. Don't forget that.
How, yeah, you know, last year was a whirlwind from starting off with coach and Simon Kitchen, and then you know you're in Sochi. It was a dream come true for a lifelong hockey guy. And you know what? The last few weeks I've played a little golf. I've been working out and just trying to get ready for the season, because once that puck drops, I'm working 6-7 days a week. And before you know it, you wake up and it's Christmas and you look like a bag of hammers and you feel like you haven't slept in a month or two. And you know, you got to get some rest now. And it's been a good few weeks, but I've got the itch. I want the puck to drop. I want to be busy. I want to see you guys. I want to be in a rink somewhere, you know?
Fantastic, and so, as do we all, mate. Well, thanks for joining us. We look forward to that. We look forward to that first game on Premier Sports, and for the season to begin. And here's to a successful year.
Well, look, I can't wait to see, and I can't wait to see how the Giants go out and defend their title, and new coach, and new beginning there. And anytime you guys need me, I'm more than willing to come on the show. I always love chatting hockey with you guys, and no doubt I'll see you at the Odyssey soon.
Absolutely.
Cheers, Murph.
Thanks, Aaron.
Take your hand, you guys.
Thanks again to Murph. Also got the opportunity earlier on today to chat with the head of hockey operations, Steve Thornton, about because we spoke to him at the start of June when he took over the role, and just to sort of catch up, see where we are, talk about the new signings and what the fans can expect. And I started off by asking him, you know, it's been a while since we spoke last. How's he settling back into life in Belfast?
Very well. It felt like I was coming home once I arrived back in Belfast. But you know, this Sunday was the big day because the family finally arrived. They had spent almost a month at the grandma's in the Oxford area.
Mm-hmm.
So it was certainly nice to have the family back in town and some noise in the house.
Yeah. Well, of course, you've been hard at work for quite a few weeks now. Look at the league. It's taken on to an altogether different dynamic than maybe was suspected a few months ago. You know, the Gardner Conference is looking very strong. There's some big units coming into the Earhart too. Given that your actual recruitment spots were limited by re-signing players like Keith and Lloyd and Chevrolet before, you know, you came into the job, has your philosophy had to change as the other rosters have filled up?
No, not really. It hasn't changed that much. I do like waiting to see what other teams do, though. And I think that the extra import rule has definitely added a little bit of size to the, you know, to all the teams in the league. I think there's, you know, there's certainly been a focus on that, but ultimately, you know, the game hasn't changed in the sense that you got to score more goals than the other team. And I think that with the new rules, it actually puts more focus on skill and being able to make decisions with the puck, and especially for the D-man. So yeah, we knew that we had to provide some size, but at the same time, you know, we wanted to make sure that we got the complete players, you know, like the guys that had the skill, that could make good decisions, that could make players around them better, and good skaters for the big ice.
We had a quick chat yesterday, and you were intimating that, you know, the time difference is giving you long hours. How close are you to completing those long hours and getting those signings in place that you can actually now look ahead to the season?
Very close, very close. Like, again, I could have finished a month and a half ago if I wanted to, but it is one of those things that, you know, I think if you treat it like a 12-month job, you put in the long hours now, you'll reap the rewards as the season comes along. You know, you do your homework on the players and you make sure you exhaust all options available, and you take into account, you know, what you already have in the lineup and what other teams are doing, and try to figure out what the best formula is. So I think that we've got a good one, and we're very close on another, and I've got you know, one other spot narrowed down to a few guys that, you know, no guarantee that we're going to get them. You always try to, you know, if you don't get rejected in the summer from players, you're probably not going after the right guys. You want to get the guys that, you know, that you know, the hard ones to get, that, you know, might have options in other leagues, and that's my philosophy.
You said that, you know, how much competition is there between maybe elite league teams for certain names? I'm sure there's players that you're all in for, and do you look at other rosters and think, oh, I was after that guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's it really depends, that there's so many agents out there, and there's a few agents that, you know, would send the mass emails that, you know, that everybody's seeing. So it's, you know, when those guys come across, like, it's you know, you got to make a decision if they're right for you, and it's, you know, if it is the right player and you think they're a good fit for the league, it could be a bidding process because, you know, more than one team is seeing them. If you can get a hold of some of the smaller agents or some of the guys, that don't have agents through contacts. There's potential to have that exclusivity, you know, where you can be the one negotiating with them. And you know, I think that Belfast is one thing. The way that they've treated players over the last 5-6 years has certainly helped, because you can ask these guys to go through the roster and pretty much call anybody that played here, and they'll give you a good feel as to, you know, what we can provide here and how we handle the players and how they live, and it has been done right, so that certainly helps. But the frustrating thing is more not necessarily if you lose a player to another team, mm-hmm. because they pay more, you know, like you got to make a decision based on, you know, where you stop. It doesn't mean we can't pay more. It just, you've got to put your own value on that player, and if someone else is going to pay them more and that's their motivation, then that's fair enough. It's more frustrating when, you know, a player would sign in the league that you didn't even see, you know, like whether it was through a contact, which hasn't happened very often, I got to say, this summer, you know. But like, if you have good contacts and you put in the calls, you'll have at least access to the players, and you're going to make your decisions and when to pull out or when to make the offer.
Well, one of the guys that's been tempted back in the last couple of weeks has been Cody Brookwell, who put pen to paper there. And for such a young player with great potential, I think a lot of us expected him maybe to spread his wings and maybe go into Europe. Was it difficult to get him to come back to Belfast?
I think hockey players, especially young guys that have done well, do have ambitions, and there's no doubt that Cody does. Like, you want to play in the best league you possibly can and see where your career can take it. So I think that was part of his process, to see if anything was going to come across his desk that would tempt him. But, you know, he loved it here. And it's quite clear, you know, his family came and visited, and I think that they recognized that he was in a good position. There's some familiarity. He knows the city. You know, he's played fantastic, you know, with his D partner last year. They had great chemistry together. He kind of knows what he's getting into. And I think that, you know, when it came down to it, it was getting to the point where, you know, a decision had to be made from both sides, right? Like, it was, Cody had to make his mind up on if he wanted to, if it was Belfast, or if we wanted to take a gamble on seeing if the door would open somewhere else. And it was the same for us. Like, we had to either lock Cody up or potentially go down another path as well, because it is a process to get guys over here in terms of work permits and you know, getting their biometrics done over there and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, you know, it was important, I think, that from my perspective, we had a bit of size back there. I always wanted to have the D man, regardless of what position they're playing, that could make good decisions and that had quick feet. And for a big guy, Cody skates really well, and he makes good decisions with the puck. He adds the size, so we fought pretty hard to get him back. We're pretty excited to have the same decor that I think was one of the main strengths to the team last season.
And then earlier on in the show, we spoke to the other new signing, Mark McCutcheon. How do you see him fitting into the lineup? He seems like an interesting player.
Yeah, I think he's an all-rounder. You know, I spoke to a few people about how, you know, Mark plays, and everything was so positive. And, you know, one of the first things that I do is the character references, and to make sure that they're going to fit into the locker room that we have. And he's a good guy. You know, he's won before. He's a team player. He puts a team ahead of himself. He's worn letters on teams he's played for, and he's helped lead teams to championships, you know, being the top guy on teams in good leagues. So it was, you know, I think that right there says a lot about Mark. Mm-hmm. In terms of his on ice play, you know, I think he's going to be strong on the puck. You know, he skates well. He's going to be he's going to be tenacious. I think he's going to be gritty. But he makes players around him better, I think, too. Like, he's, you know, he can play on the top lines, and when the puck comes to him, he can make a play. It doesn't end with him, and that's important, because we've got a lot of guys that like to be creative, and I don't want to take away guys' creativity. You know, I don't want to be like a dump and chase coach and just wait for team to make mistakes. I'd rather go out there and make teams make mistakes and allow guys to be creative. We're going to have obviously a lot of set plays from set situations, but you know, when the guys have the puck and you got a second to make a decision, you know, they have to be able to make that decision. And based on what I've heard, Mark is a guy that can make the decisions out there.
How difficult is it to just listen to you saying, you know, about character references and about how difficult is it when you're signing up these guys and you haven't really seen them play to a large extent? You are basing it on, you know, scouting reports, you're basing it on character references. There is a certain amount of risk there that you put as coach, choosing these guys, bringing these guys in, putting your faith on that if they came in and didn't perform, it falls on you.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of risk. I mean, it's getting a little bit easier in a sense that you can have access to videos and all that kind of stuff now. But it's still, you know, you take a look at, you know, the way that the NHL does it, or even the junior leagues do it. Like they have scouts and they're all over the world, the scouts, and they have, you know, they send guys out to the big tournaments. They always go and watch their players, and they can help, you know, figure out what they need to do to get to that next level. They can always give that feedback. Where us, like it's a bit of a disadvantage in that, you know, the budget simply isn't there. But you can kind of tell based on, you know, where guys have played and how their numbers have been as to whether they transition well. And then it's the homework, you know. And I think that's where it can be an advantage. Like if you're not prepared to do it, I think you're potentially going to make more mistakes. And there's no perfect science to it. You know, sometimes the characters don't fit in the room, and sometimes it's just their style isn't a match for the league, or sometimes it's the coach. You know, you might not put that player in the best position to succeed. You know, like if an offensive player isn't put on an offensive line or on the power play, like regardless of where they are, it's going to be hard for them to put up the numbers that's expected. So, you know, I think based on kind of what you hear about the players and especially the guys that have played in, you know, certain leagues, you can kind of reference as to how the transition is going to be. But it really is. It's not a perfect science. And I think that every team has seen that in the past.
It's been pointed out, you know, that with so many of the championship winning team returning, the chemistry's there for this team to, you know, hit the ground running. They know how each other plays, and with a few other lads coming in just to complement that. However, can that be a double-edged sword? Because surely the onus is on you as the coach to make sure that no complacency sets in, because these guys are going to go into that locker room knowing, you know, we've won the championship, we're a championship winning side, we know we're a good side. But with everybody else around us improving, these guys have to know that they need to maybe step it up another step. Is that, I assume that falls on you to sort of make sure that complacency doesn't set in?
Absolutely. Like it does, but, you know, I also try to recruit a team that is full of good characters and it's quite mature to so that they recognize that it also falls on them. Like they have to show up and they have to look in the mirror and they have to do the job on the ice. And I think that the guys on the team, one of the strengths was that they were accountable last year. You know, like they found a way in those close games, and it's not pointing the finger at whether it's myself or the captain or whoever makes decisions like that. You need guys to show up. Like in every league, it's not easy to repeat. Like you look at, you know, whether it's the Premier League or you look at the NHL, and a lot of teams can return the same rosters and not have chemistry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got some new guys coming to the mix, and you know, we're going to do the things at the beginning of the season that we think, you know, will help kind of bond the guys, and I'm sure that based on, like, I've stayed in touch with a lot of guys, they're doing the right things in the summer in terms of staying in shape, guys are healthy, and they all want to win. You know, like one of the good things about last season, coming into the season, is that there was a little bit of a sour taste left in their mouth that kind of made them hungry again. You know, and I think that actually will help in terms of the motivation side of things. Like, if that's what it was last year, like, it's hard for me to say, but if it was more of a winning the league so early and, you know, a bit of complacency setting in, I'd like to think that based on not winning your last game, which is the big one for the hockey guys, you know, like when you're a player, you want to win that last game and celebrate that cup together. Is gonna, you know, you'll remember that little taste in your mouth, and it's going to drive you that much more. So absolutely, it's 100% my job to make sure guys are on the same page, they're motivated, complacency doesn't set in. But we've got a great leadership core on this team that's going to also make sure that the team is in a good space going into games.
You look around the teams around us in the Arhat Conference, and they are all starting to, you know, bulk up a bit. The Sheffield have obviously got a point to prove. Nottingham seem to be signing every import available. You know, Cardiff are there, and you know, with Todd at the helm, they're putting a good roster together. And in Scotland, they're starting to put together some really good teams. When you look around the league, Steve, who do you see as the big hitters?
Well, it's tough. Like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people would have probably at this point last season looked at the teams on paper and maybe not have chosen Belfast as the team to beat. So on paper, there's some very, very good teams. You know, I think that, and I don't think anybody is going to argue that the league hasn't gotten stronger this year. It's, you know, with Nottingham going to the Champions League, they have a lot of bodies. Sheffield is, I think, you know, put a team together that it's got a good DNA to it. You know, they've got a really good top six. They've got some real good energy guys on the third line, and they've got an extremely strong decor. So I think, and they've got good goaltending as well. So I think they've improved from last year as well. The extra import is going to do that. It's just going to give that much more depth to these teams. Cardiff was in a much better space. You can tell by the guys they signed, and just based on the feeling of goodwill around there, like it's the change in ownership is going to make them stronger. And Coventry's, I think, put a better team on paper, whether it's spending more money or better recruiting, it's hard to say. But I think that the difference will be how many scalps are going to get taken by the Scottish teams as well. You know, like I think that the caliber of player that is signing in the Dundees, the Fifes, and the Brayheads right now are, you know, extremely strong. The difference between, again, the top six on the teams in our conference compared to the top six forwards on the teams in their conference is not huge, where you might have said 3-4 years ago it was. So it's, you know, Edinburgh still has to play their cards. You haven't seen much of them. And I think Hull is going to be, you know, a team that has got a lot to, they're going to go out there and try to prove themselves. You know, it's a new coach, so you don't know what to expect from him. And I think that, It's not an easy building to get points in. So I think that if they can create the energy in their building and make it a difficult road game, they'll do well as well.
Of course, you mentioned there the Champions League of Hockey for the Nottingham Panthers. We ourselves have a European adventure coming in mid-October. How much at this moment in time are you looking ahead to that? Because there are going to be three very difficult games for the Giants. And, you know, if they progress in that, then we go again in November. Is that foremost in your mind, or are you waiting for that to come closer before you even start thinking of it?
No, I 100% think of it, but it's not my focus priority right now. Like I want to win it, you know, like as you want to win the trophies, like and you're trying to, you know, put a team together that's going to have a chance to compete in it, and it is going to be tough, like, but it's going to be also exciting to go there and test ourselves against, you know, some other teams and other leagues. It's good exposure for the guys, and I think it's a good chance for our league to show kind of how much we have improved. You know, three games in three nights, I think is, you know, some of those teams are going to be playing four line hockey where we might not be. But I think that the guys here, their bodies get used to it. You know, like it's hard to go from four line hockey to three line hockey, but it's also hard to go from three line hockey to four line hockey once your body's used to it. So
yeah,
you know, guys are fairly motivated about going over there and increasing the credibility of the league, but the focus is right now on definitely other things. You know, like I want to complete the roster, you know, and then I want to focus on plans for training camp, like, you know, just the on ice plans on kind of what I want to get out of it, and then the exhibition games are they're exhibition games. I know that it's added spice that it's Cardiff, but it's a good chance to go out there and get the kinks out. Get the rust off of the summer, get some chemistry with the line mates you're playing. You know, you tend to, when you're not, they're not your teammates, you tend to kind of go a little bit harder. Guys go hard in practice for sure, but it's just going to be that one step up in terms of gears that kind of gets you ready for your first game. So it's not a shock coming from a practice to a game where there's actually, you know, heavy duty contact. So it'll be good for us. Might not have the whole roster here by then, which I'm okay with. You know, I'd rather wait for the right guy than to sign somebody that I'm settling for just to have a full roster for an exhibition game. So we'll see. A lot of it will depend on the worker and the process. But, you know, for the guys that we do have in, it's going to be a good skate.
It is only about 3 weeks before that game against Cardiff. It does have a little spice, not least with the change of ownership, but a former team of your own, of course. The schedule leading up to that, when do we get the guys? And you mentioned training camp there. When are you expecting to get the guys in? When are the guys going to get on ice and to prepare for that?
Well, the majority of the guys are going to be coming from, I'd say, the 15th to the 24th. And then on the Monday, the 25th, we'll start on the ice. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with the physicals and then 2-a-days that week. And then we'll hopefully have something nice for the fans that week as well to meet the players. Unfortunately, there won't be a guarantee that we're going to have all the players here. You know, we'll more than likely have all the players signed by then. And then we've got obviously the big build-up going into that weekend. We'll probably finish the 2-a-days on a Thursday, a nice practice to get us ready for on Friday to get us ready for the Saturday game, and then a good week of kind of heavy-duty practicing, 1-a-days to get us ready for the triple header, which is going to be a good experience for guys.
It's a hard start, and between now and then, I say 3 weeks, and you've got your family over now. Are you going to get any chance for a break before the season starts?
Certainly not a break, I would say, away from Belfast, that's for sure. No, I'm enjoying it, and there's a ton of support, like with what we have going on in Belfast right now with the Odyssey Trust and the guys that are working there. So the main focus is the players right now. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the background to get ready for game night operations and to make sure that, you know, we still have the best fan experience in the league at our home games. But we want to make sure we've got a good on ice product that can compete in a league that's constantly improving. So, you know, we're gonna work on the last couple of guys and hopefully we'll have an announcement or two fairly soon. And it's gonna be a nice training camp and good for the fans to see the new guys and the returning guys. I think that's one thing that it doesn't happen too often where you get this many guys coming back. So for the fans and the good fan base we have to have some familiarity with the names and the faces coming back, it makes it even that much more exciting.
Well, it's going to be wherever. I think everybody's looking forward to the season beginning. And I know that Robert Fitzpatrick has nominated you to throw an ice bucket over your head. So I look forward to seeing how you deal with that. And thanks for chatting this.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Thanks again to Steve Thornton for his time. We are looking forward to those games against the Cardiff Devils at the end of the month. Well, a podcast wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't finish it off with Ask Davey. Davey, what do we got?
Paddy, we'll start with one from Andrea Cochran that she sent in the other day. If an EU player gets injured, leaves, drop, and the coach decides to replace him, does it have to be another EU player? Or can a non-EU player be signed if the squad already has another player who meets the EU criteria? I know that's a bit of a mouthful question, but I'm sure you've already got an answer lined up.
Well, yes, Andrea sent this in a couple of days ago, and I took the opportunity to try to get in touch with the Elite League to try to get a sort of an answer to it. Got a response from some guy who played for Bracknell, who's in Cardiff, saying, why am I asking all these sort of convoluted questions? But I sort of got the answer that I was expecting. You look at the way that the rosters are signed up, we can sign up 15 imports if we want, but we can only ice 11 of them. In this season, we've got the dual national, which can be the 12th import if needs be, but it has to be a sort of an EU dual nat. So long as we have 11 imports on the ice, that plus one, but if he stays or goes or whoever, it can be anybody as long as they fulfill that criteria. If we sign in a EU player who leaves, then we can still only have 11 imports on the ice. If we can bring in another import, but we can't have any more. It's all down to what's on the ice at that time. So you can sign whoever the hell you want. When it comes to a game, it can be 11 imports plus one EU player, regardless of who comes or goes. I hope that answers the question.
We'll leave that with Andrea to come back to us if she's not satisfied.
Yeah, why not?
And then a question from the world's angriest man.
Hey.
if
if we don't sign a full quota of imports as rumoured, I'm not sure where this rumour's come from, could it be perceived as a lack of ambition from the club? Coach?
I think we'll end up with a full quota of imports is my honest opinion on it. Whether or not we start the season off with the full quota is yet to be seen. But I think certainly come October and November time, I think we'll definitely find that we're that we're playing with a full quota. Steve Thornton's not stupid. He's got a budget to work within, and he's going to make sure that he gets the best players that he possibly can for the right price and bring them in to represent the Belfast Giants to the best of their ability. And you know, as I said earlier on, Thornton is highly respected as a recruiter, and I have no doubt whatsoever that he'll put the best team on the ice that he possibly can for us. So in answer to the question, I would expect us to certainly have the full import quota, maybe not just at the start of the season.
The question, Paddy, was, would if we didn't, would it be perceived as a lack of ambition from the club? What do you think?
You have to take into account, and hello to Andrew, we have to take into account that we go for 11 imports, right? When Thornton took over, the goalpost moved, and we were suddenly allowed to have this extra dual national. So that could technically be an import. We could technically run 12 imports. You could technically say that, you know, for example, Calvin Elfring, he's got a German passport, that he could be a dual national, and we could have 11 other imports. However, the plan was set in place before these goalposts were moved. So we heard earlier from Steve Thornton with regards to his recruiting process and his thoughts. You also take into account that, as Coach says, you know, maybe October, November time, we bring in another player. Steve Thornton's done that before, and we got Jeffrey Suez at his hilt. And, you know, late on in the season, and a guy who basically put us on his shoulders and led us all the way to the playoff final. So I think deeming it a lack of ambition, should we start not with 12 imports, is unfair. I think we'll start with 11 imports. I think it's exactly what we plan to start off with. I think it's exactly the team that we will want on the ice, and it would be competitive. There is an option there to have a 12th, but that's up to the coach, what point he utilizes it, and whether he wants to go straight in for it now, have the player that's available now, or hold tight and see if he can get the right player to put into that slot. And we might come up with a Jeffrey Suez at his hilt, or who knows.
We fell 56 asks, and this is kind of the last time Steve Thornton was in the league, this happened as well. Other teams are starting to toughen up. Yeah. Do you think the Giants need, as Phil calls it, a big guy fighter type in this team, as most other teams seem to have gone down that route? Or do you think we have already got enough on our team with our captain possibly being the toughest pound for pound guy in the league already?
You've got that. Sorry, coach.
I've had this discussion already, and I think you will find that there will be more fights in the league this year than there were last year, but that wouldn't be difficult because there was hardly anything fight-wise. If you recall last year, I think Adam Keefe fought, what did he fight at home? Three times? Twice at home? Maybe three times in a row. He had a maximum of five fights last season. There wasn't a hell of a lot of physical activity going on last year within the league. Yes, it's bulked up this season. From our perspective, I'd be looking to bring in another Jeffrey Suez type player, a big power forward, a no nonsense power forward. So, you know, Jeffrey Suez had one fight last year against Brent down about 100 times because of the fear factor. So if we can sign somebody like that who can put up 70 points in 50 odd games for us and have that physical presence and not be afraid to drop the gloves, put up a few penalty minutes if and when required, then that's the type of player we should be looking for.
Patrick?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? But I think that, you know, you do look at some of the guys that are being brought in around the league, and you're thinking that, you know, they seem to be of a Adam Keefe type mould, that they are big units but also handy with the skates and the stick. We do have, for the last number of years, the best pound for pound fighter in the elite league, the guy who wears his heart on his sleeve, the guy who is the heartbeat of the Belfast Giants.
Dang.
So Do you need a guy in there to back him up? Will you consult that man? Do you think, you know, Keith's probably looking around the league, seeing who's up, might be up against him, and he has to make decisions himself. And he has to chat to the coach, and the coach would probably, the real coach, too many coaches. He'll chat to Steve Thornton, and he'd probably, you know, they'll probably have a discussion about whether that player, you know, is there to back him up. We've got some big units as well, I'm sure, who aren't afraid to fight. And I'll be very interested to see who these last few signings are by Steve Thornton, because I think that one of them might be another Adam Keefe-style player, a bit of a power forward, maybe a bit of a Jeffrey Suez type, a guy who will drive the net, a guy with skills, but a guy who's going to lamp somebody should the opportunity come up. Philosophy-wise in the team, do we change our recruitment policy to fit around other people's? No, we do not. Not unless it really calls for it. And do we focus on players that have the ability to fight just because other teams are? No, stay on target. David? David, I'm interested in yours.
What was the question?
Do we bring in another big unit?
I would be very much along the same lines as you, Paddy, that, you know, we have a recruitment strategy there. If other teams want to recruit and run around, you know, look at the Detroit Red Wings for an example of a team that don't need that out and out, you know, tough guy. They've got they talk about team toughness. You know, they had Jordan Tutu there for a couple of seasons who couldn't even get a shift because, you know, the Wings were well known enough that they didn't play that style of hockey. So other teams didn't bring their tough guy when they came to hockey town, but that's not really an option. The IHL, you know, it's the same roster night in, night out for teams. And it's just something that has to be kept an eye on. You know, if they have their tough guy and he's starting to run about being stupid, then it's up to somebody in the roster to stand up and clip his wings for him. And I think you're right in what you say that, you know, we have to recruit what we believe will be a team that'll win the league, not a team that'll win the most fights. And that's really all the Ask Davey questions. As coach, I promised at the end of last season that I will answer them all, and I will shoot down them all here and give them all an answer. But thanks for your questions.
That's it. And get at AVFTB, of course, hashtag Ask Davey. I think that's all we've got time for this time, gents. I think we'll all agree we're a bit ring rusty when it comes to this week's show. But we've got 3 weeks to get back in shape, eh, coach?
Absolutely, mate.
Davey, thanks for joining us.
Paddy, I just can't wait that we've got some hockey to talk about. A bit like Aaron Murphy, you know, I'm G'd up and ready to go here. It'll be good to get the podcast going over the winter whenever we've got some skills on show to talk about.
Thanks, coach.
Cheers.
And that's that. Thanks to Steve Thornton. Thanks to Aaron Murphy, Mark McCutcheon. And of course, thanks to Neil the Coach Russell and Davey Majemski. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk more hockey. The contact details are always the same. podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is the web address. @AVFTB is our Twitter, and there are interviews on soundcloud.com/AVFTB. Bit of a different ending coming up. We get a lot of questions in. We get a lot of user content, and we're delighted to have it. And it was quite a while back that I got an email from one of my friends, actually here in Manchester, who've listened to the show on quite a few occasions. And well, they put this together for a bit of a laugh, a theme music, and I promised I'd put it in, and here it is. Beth Durkin and Alison Spencer with their theme to View from the Bridge. See you next time.
This is a view from the bridge. What a performance! Oh, that's gotta hurt! A good hockey player, please wear their pockets. Our first priority was staying alive. Our second was stopping the puck. Ice hockey is a form of disorderly conduct. It's a goal! Harbour Bridge. Brooklyn Bridge. Golden Gate Bridge. Sydney Harbour Bridge. London Bridge. The bridge over the River Kwai. Forth Bridge. Gateshead Bridge. The bridge you sometimes see in EastEnders. Is there even a bell?